Did you know there are three major kinds of prayer? Find out what they are on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as Kenneth Copeland and guest Jerry Savelle continue with their series, Getting Your Prayers Answered. Now, here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. You're going to be glad you came today, I guarantee you. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today, give you praise and thanksgiving. We open our hearts, we open our minds for revelation from heaven, insight, ideas, and concepts that come directly through the Spirit of God. And we thank you for it. Your plan be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, I'm excited about you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Savelle, let me ask you something. Let me read this scripture first. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Mm-hmm. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your lust.
Yeah.
I remember you mentioned this yesterday, and we talked about it a little bit between the broadcast about Brother Hagin saying, he said people would be praying down around the altar, you know, and he'd stop. They'd be praying. Oh God. Yeah. And he'd stop and say, What do you believe in God for? Well, nothing in particular. He said, well, that's what you're going to get.
Nothing in particular.
And he said, people would say, let's pray. Well, what are we praying about? Well, we're just praying.
Yeah.
No. He said, you can't pray one kind of prayer with another kind of prayers rules.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there was more than one kind of prayer. I never heard of that. But he said, you can't play football with baseball rules.
Right.
And he said, you can't come in and say, let's do sports.
Yeah.
We got to know what we're going to do here. What are we here for?
Yeah.
And that's the reason.
As simple as that sounds, but it was so profound to
me. Oh, it was profound to me. Because I was a great one for just shooting a scatter shot. Yeah. My daddy told me, he said, you know, Kenneth, he said, before I learned these things from you, he said, our praying was just like slinging mud. He said, you just sling it in every direction, maybe some of it will stick. He said, we prayed to the Father, we prayed to Jesus, we prayed to the Holy Ghost, just any and everything we could think of. Well, when you don't know any better, God put up with some unbelief. But he don't intend for you to stay there. He intends for you to progress.
Right.
So, let's go over here. I'm really interested in my own spirit. I want to receive from you today. I'm receiving your ministry today from the sixth chapter of Ephesians, where we first learned and where we live today. I still pray in these lines today.
Mm-hmm.
So I could play baseball when I was 6 or 7 years old. I enjoyed playing baseball. Mm-hmm. I liked the other sports, but I enjoyed baseball. I really liked baseball. I know you was a baseball player. But I wasn't all that good at it. I was good for a six-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same game in the World Series.
Yeah.
But they don't play like 12-year-old kids. They don't even play like high school kids. But you had to come up. Sixth grade, seventh grade, high school, college, even if you did go to majors, you wasn't much till you'd been there a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way in prayer. And God will listen to you all the way down the line. He'll work with you, and he'll develop with you. You can be just as strong. You're the righteousness of God when you ain't been saved 30 minutes, and God will hear your prayer.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, you just learn more along the way and get more proficient at it, you know.
How?
And
doing it.
Yeah, doing it.
Practice.
Well, that's what I remember reading Charles Finney's book on prayer years ago, and he made this powerful statement. The best school of prayer is praying.
Yeah, amen. Oh, and he is powerful.
The best school of prayer is praying. You can learn tons by praying.
Yeah, you can.
Well, in Ephesians 6, Paul talks about, everybody's familiar with him saying, be strong in the Lord, power of his might, put on the full armor of God. But after he lists all that armor, then in verse 18 he says, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Amplified says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer.
That means all kind, different.
Now, there's another translation that says all kinds of prayer.
All different kind. There's different kinds
of prayer. Okay, now, of course, I learned this from you, and once again, this is my 1969 notebook where I was taking those reel-to-reel tapes you had with a message on each side, and you had a prayer series.
And I had a green, kids called it the Green Hornet. Yeah. It was the first decent carb, well, not decent, it was the first new carb that we had ever had. That thing was green. It had a green...
green vinyl top
green on it
bottom.
And a green bottom. That was the one that you fixed, and it's a 1969 Pontiac
Bonneville. I remember it well.
Yeah, man.
That's what you're driving over to Shreveport and preaching these messages, and then I'd take them reel to reels back home every night and listen to them. I'd listen to them, and then the second time I listened to them, I outlined them. And that's what these are right here. All those outlines, and here's the outline from the different kinds of prayer. Kinds of prayer, part one. And here's what you said, and I wrote them down, and I began to learn how to pray them. The three major kinds of prayer. Number one, the prayer of dedication and worship. Number two, the prayer of thanksgiving and praise. And number three, the prayer that changes things. Now, the reason Brother Hagin said, you can't play baseball with football rules, and you can't pray certain kinds of prayers on different rules that apply to a different kind of prayer. Yeah. For instance, the prayer of dedication and worship is the only prayer that you can scripturally pray this phrase in, if it be thy will.
Yeah.
For the prayer that changes things, you can't pray
you
that.
You can't pray that.
Any results.
No, it'll kill
And
it.
The reason you can pray, if it be thy will, in the prayer of dedication and worship, because that's what you're doing. You're saying, God,
whatever you want me to do,
it be thy will that I leave my job and go into the ministry, then that's what I'm willing to do.
The Lord taught me this about that prayer there. He said, the place where you are now, and I was in that place where I was yielding with all I could come up with to remove every vesture of my ideas and my will and replace it with His. And I kept telling Him, my will is to do your will.
Right.
Not get rid of your will. That's unscriptural. My will is to do your will, and I'm searching, I'm looking for His response.
Yeah.
He, and this is what came out of it. He said, pray this, I am yours to command.
Mm-hmm.
Wow!
Yeah.
That changed my direction.
That's the way Jesus lived His life on the earth.
I am yours to command.
Yeah. I do only what I hear my Father say.
I say whatever I hear my Father say. I do whatever I see my Father do.
Yeah.
And then in John 16, 13, 14, and 15, Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost has come, He'll show you things to come. He'll take what's mine and show you. So you got a promise to stand on there for Him to reveal what to say and what to do.
Yeah. But see what a difference that would make, and why so many people pray amiss when they're when they're endeavoring to pray to change something, but they add the phrase, if it be thy will. For instance, healing. You know, Lord, if it be thy will, heal me. Well, his will was expressed 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on the cross.
And you ought to know it.
And if you know the word, then you know the word says, by his stripes you were healed. It says the will of God was to put Jesus on that cross in our behalf. The will of God was for him to bear those stripes on his back. The will of God was for him to become a curse for us. And every sickness and every disease is under the curse. So for me to say, Lord, if it be thy will, if I pray, if it be thy will, heal me, I'm praying amiss. I'm not praying accurately. I'm not praying scripturally. And I'm not getting any results.
And you can't be strong to stand because you ain't got nothing to stand on.
Yeah.
I heard Brother Hagin say this in one of the seminars back there in 1958. He had five 10-day seminars that year. And Glory and I didn't miss a service. Mm-hmm. So we were in 50 services in 1958. And he took a different subject each time in the nighttime, what he called the realities of redemption. And then in the morning times, he took faith and prayer.
Yeah.
Man. And I heard him say this, that you cannot stand strong and having done all to stand, stand therefore having on the full armor of God. That's right here. That's the rest of this sixth chapter of Ephesians. He said, you can't do that if you don't know the will of God.
Right.
You can't be strong and stand on that. You don't know it's God's will. And it's your responsibility to find it out from the Word.
Yeah, study to show thyself approved.
There you are.
Yeah.
Well, I heard that. I thought, I see now why I've been so wishy-washy in a lot of things. Mm. I didn't take the time to find out what the Word has to say about it.
Right.
And if you take what somebody else had to say about it, you're just kidding yourself.
Yeah.
Even if they said what was right, you need to go back it up in the Word for yourself. You don't need to go to God and say, Brother Savell said or Brother Copeland said. No, you need to go to God and said, you said in your Word.
Right.
That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But then somebody says, well, how do you know it's God's will for everybody to be healed? Well, let me ask you this. Is it God's will for everybody to be saved?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, who would argue with you about that?
People used to not believe that, Jerry.
Yeah.
It's your and my generation that came in through the God raising up Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and these and others, Amy McPherson and so forth and so on, all these different fiery Billy Sunday and all these different fire preachers and evangelists and so forth. But people argued with that. Why, God don't love a sinner. That was untrue.
Mm-hmm.
But when that was restored to the church and we began to realize that it's God's will, we read it there yesterday when we led people in that prayer, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's will.
Well, can you imagine two people coming to the altar after a sermon on salvation? You invite people to get saved. Two people come to the altar, and you tell one, it's the will of God for you to be saved, but not you. You wouldn't say that.
You can't.
You can't say that if you know what the Word says. It says it's His will that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. But the same Jesus that made that possible is the same Jesus who bore those stripes on His back that we might be healed.
The same day.
Same day, same sacrifice.
Yes, sir. Same blood.
So Amen. Why would I invite two people to come into a prayer line and then say, well, it's the will of God to heal you, but not you. If it's the will of God for both of them to be saved, it's the will of God for both of them to be healed. It's the will of God for both of them to prosper. It's the will of God for both of them to be made whole.
Jerry, the only reason I've ever seen in the years that I've been in this ministry, 45 years now, 44 and a half, is excuses were made. We know the Word says that, but then this guy here prayed and he didn't get anything and that one did. Two guys come to the altar. both of them answering a salvation invitation. And one of them just shouts and jumps and screams and hollers, and my God, dances up and down the altar bench and falls on his floor and rolls under the seat, and he just having such a big time because he'd been delivered from his sin. And here's another fellow over there on the end of the bench, and he's very quiet, and he prays. And so somebody go away and say, well, there was two guys got saved in the service last night, and I'm telling you, one of them really got saved. Mm-hmm. When the truth is known, that quiet man down there on the end that took God at his word is probably, not all the time, but he's probably stronger in his beginning years than this man will be. Because when the thrill wears off of it, you're going to have to go over there and get him back on the word.
Yeah.
I was like that. Mm-hmm. But the idea that, you have to think about what that fella did in his past. No. You get off on that, you get completely out of the word.
Yeah.
And when you do, then that's when people begin to think and pray, if it be your will. And it won't work anywhere except dedication and worship.
Right. So that's the reason you can't pray, you can't use the rules, for the lack of a better term, that govern the prayer of dedication in the prayer that changes things.
Let me ask you something else here. Let's talk about this while we got a little bit of time left here. Did or did he not, Jesus, pray, if it be your will? No, he didn't pray that. Why, Brother Copeland, in the Garden of Gethsemane? No, that's not what he prayed. He said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to go through this. His will being separated from his father. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the going to hell part. It was the separation from his father.
Yeah.
That he sweated blood, man.
Yeah.
And it was so he didn't want to do it. It was not his desire to do that, and his will was trying to get away from it, but he said, your will be done. That's dedication and worship, man.
Yeah.
It's not if it be your will. He never prayed that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've prayed that like this. Lord, if it be your will, I'm inquiring of you, sir. I'm yours to command.
Yeah.
And if it be your will that I go there, I'll go. Mm-hmm. If it be your will for me to go over here, I'll do that.
Yeah.
If it be your will for me to do this or for me to do that, nevertheless, your will be done.
Yeah. Well, I remember the first airplane God blessed my ministry with, 1976. And man, they brought that airplane in there and it's debt-free, and I put it in my hangar, and Carolyn and I and the girls, we laid hands on it and just rejoiced over it. You know, we stood 2 years for that airplane. And then when I shut the hangar door and got ready to go home, I heard this on the inside of me. What if God tells you to give way before you ever get to flat? And I didn't like the sound of that. I thought, no way, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, it took me 2 years believing that thing in, you know, and sowing seed for it. And I got in the car and drove off, and I got down there on Northeast 28th Street. You know, I had it out at Meacham, and I turned the car around and went back. Carolyn said, what are you doing? I said, something happened. I don't like the way I reacted to it. We got to go back. Drove back, opened the hangar, laid our hands on it, and I said, Lord, if it be your will I give this airplane away before I ever get to flight, I just want you to know, I'll consider it a joy having watched you do the impossible.
Now your faith took hold of it.
Yeah. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, I commend you for that. Enjoy it for now.
Now, listen. Let's talk about now. Here you are 35, 36 years, 37 years, however many it is.
Yeah.
Later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't have to deal with that anymore.
No.
Oh, Jerry, one of the most exciting things you ever hear in your life is when God says, give so-and-so something.
Right.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's more fun than you ever had in your life.
Yeah.
And you're separated from all these things now. And back there then, boy, okay, yeah, I'll do it. I'm yours to command, and all that. But look how growth in that same prayer, that was foundation of it because you had something to stand on.
Right.
The growth in that same prayer grows up to where you get to thinking, you want me to give that? Lord, what about, and it just, it gets so real and so rich because he's so close to you and he's so involved in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You ain't thinking about whether you, having to have this or having not to have that or something. You're just swimming in his presence. You've sought the kingdom until all these things have been added to you and things come and things go, and you're just rejoicing and enjoying life.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he's after all the time.
That's it.
Isn't that it?
Yeah. Praise God.
We're out of time.
Again.
Again. Brother Cherry and I'll be back in just a moment.
Every prayer you pray can be a winning prayer. God has given us the playbook with all the rules of the game to teach you the right prayer for the right time. To be effective in prayer, as in sports, you have to use the proper equipment and guidelines. You don't have to try to figure out if you're praying by the right rules anymore. You can know how to pray correctly. The Call to Prayer package will help you learn. For more than 44 years, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have been putting God's Word into practice, and they've developed a lifestyle of faith and prayer that works. Their latest Lifeline kit, How to Get Your Prayers Answered, is an in-depth 10-day spiritual action plan designed to help you move from basic to world-changing prayer. Spiritual MVP and longtime fellow minister Dr. Jerry Savelle has written The Prayer of Petition. It is your hands-on guide to the prayer that gets results and your tool to stopping opposition. This winning team is here to coach you to victory. It's time to get your prayers answered every time. Prayer is the foundation of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and now you can draw from over 40 years of ministry experience from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland on this life-changing subject. If you want prayers that get results, then go online and order your Call to Prayer package today. This power pack set is available at a 35% savings for just $29. The Call to Prayer package will change your prayer life and give you the foundation for effective prayer. Receive an additional product discount at 48-hour processing when you order online.
Now, this is from the Call to Prayer package, and I'm reading on page 196 from Jerry's new book on the prayer petition. Prayer is a responsibility of every believer. Some people think that having a mature prayer life is reserved for the older believer or for just the women of the church. And the reason they think that is because, and particularly in years gone by, like my mother's generation, they didn't have a bunch of distraction. And when women were at home in their workplace, all the family's gone, there wasn't no television to turn on. And back in the early days, there wasn't even a radio in there to turn on. And my mother prayed all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And that's what was labeled women's intuition. They don't have any more intuition than a man, except they do on over their children, because God put that in there. But when they think about and pray all day long, they'll begin to pick up answers to certain situations that a man's not going to pick up because he's out there dealing with something all day. He didn't hear it. So, but we should not turn to prayer only when trouble comes or during special meetings or so forth and so on. You need to get hold of this package because there is this learning from years of experience, not just our experience. We go back, you go back to all that Brother Hagin learned, all that Oral Roberts learned, and you go back generations.
Oh, yeah.
And it's wrapped up in here. We are a growing generation in the things of God. And this is the way you seek first the kingdom of God. And Father, we pray this radio and television audience all over the world.
Yes,
Lord. And we thank you for revealing yourself to them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, we have anointed prayer ministers. These are not somebody we hire out there to just transfer the call over. These are trained prayer ministers right here on KCM property in Fort Worth, Texas. We have this. This is true of our international offices. Now, in Fort Worth, they're here 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And that prayer number you're going to talk to somebody that knows how to pray. Yeah. Amen. Get help when you need it, but keep learning. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, Kenneth and Jerry commanding you to remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Kenneth Copeland Ministries, along with United Theological Seminary, presents an opportunity that could be just right for you.
I was reading one of the partner magazines, and I saw the advertisement in there, and I just thought to myself, oh, that'd be cool, but I never wanted to go back to school. I'd had more than enough. I was done. I didn't want any more homework. But then I really just felt that my daddy said that I should apply. So, and you know, I knew I had to do that, and I applied, and they actually accepted me. If the Lord puts it on their heart, they should absolutely do it. Don't let anything stop you, like concerns about money or time with your family. That was a big one for me, you know, or the work, because if he called you to it, he's going to provide everything that you need in the process, and he has. I've got a whole new family of friends, and they're so special, and everything's been wonderful. It's been great.
On kcm.org, you can learn more about the Kenneth Copeland Scholars Program. It doesn't matter where you live or what your situation. If you have a master's degree and want to learn more, visit kcm.org today.
Join us for the 2011 31st Annual Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas, July 4th through the 9th. 5 power-packed days designed to put you personally in touch with God. Don't miss this opportunity to discover your full potential. Immerse yourself in the Word with teachings from Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dalla. Friday morning, join Kenneth Copeland for a dynamic partners meeting. Saturday morning, Gloria Copeland teaches healing school. Come expecting to receive your healing. Terry Copeland Pearsons hosts pre-service prayer Monday through Friday. Youth services are available Monday through Saturday, 1440. Students Ministries equips students to make every minute count for the glory of God for ages 13 to 18. Commander Kelly and the Super Kid Academy will be in session for kids ages 6 to 12. It's all free. July 4th through the 9th, the 2011 Southwest Believers Convention. For the household of faith, everything is going to be all right.
Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
If God's talking to you all the time, how can you fail?
You won't.
You won't fail. If you're hearing from God all the time and He's ordering your steps, telling you what to do, how to do it, you can't fail.